Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in true crime talk radio. This is True Crime Tuesday. I'm Dave. That's Tim. Hey, Tim.
Hiya.
We have had an extraordinary few days, folks, with the cruise on the Jericho cruise and travel about. We are doing this episode without a guest today. We do have dumb crimes and stupid criminals galore, and we figured this would be a good day to catch up on many of the stories that we've missed over the last few weeks. We will be back next week with guests and back to our regular form. But since many of you tell us this is your favorite part of the show, and because of our travel schedule and the inability to have a true crime guest on board the Jericho ship with us, we'll just have to forego that angle, Tim.
Well, let me raise my hand for a second here, Dave, and I want to take some of the blame for it. I had a little problem with my setup that kind of hindered a guest. And secondly, I got the Jericho cruise flu. Now, normally, I don't blame sickness for anything.
Sounds like a blues song.
I do. I know it does, doesn't it? It sounds horrible. Normally, I don't blame that for anything. I don't blame sickness for anything, but I have never had a flu before that was upper respiratory and lower explosion, but I got both. Jeez. I'm afraid they're not going to let me.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm afraid they're not going to let me back into the Midwest. I think that I'm in Pasco County right now, where most of these stories come from. I'm in the heart of enemy territory. I'm living amongst Florida man right now, Dave.
Yeah, you may be stuck there is what you're saying.
I went to, and just a little prologue to today's Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals. I went to a Walmart in Pasco County. I had to. And
what was that like?
Oh, my God. You would have no, you have no idea. I had to take one of those little, carts. First of all, you have to fight for one of those carts if you're handicapped, you know, because I have the bum leg. And I can walk, but I can't walk that far and push a cart, especially if you have to get more than, like, say, 20 or 25 items. And, I'm getting stuff for the family, right? You know, we're gonna have family dinner. So I go and get one of the handicapable carts, right? The ones that you read about that they take from Walmart and drive down the street. And one of them was driving like it had been taken multiple times and driven down the street. It was bumpy. It had probably one good wheel left, and it was horrible. They had one good one that was brand new, which was I managed to get later when this one ran out of battery power. And as I'm getting all my stuff together and I finally get everything together, I forgot one item, and I went back to go back into the Walmart to get it, and I get a frantic text from intern Yoko saying, "Hurry, hurry, I just about got into a fight in the parking lot."
So you guys almost became part of the Dumb Crime Stupid Criminals report today.
Yep, it almost happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's crazy. Well,
yeah, at the Walmart, at one of the Walmarts in Pasco County, over here in Hudson, it almost happened.
Damn, so, we're so close, folks, so close.
You almost read about me having to bail out intern Yoko. She almost had to go scrapping with one of the local trash here in Pasco County.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's trash. She's calling names now.
Well, that's how dedicated I am to this job, folks. That's how dedicated I am to you. How I'm practically on my deathbed, but I stayed a little bit longer in a Pasco County Walmart so that we could conduct a civil experiment to see if it's true that an outsider could get killed by Florida man.
Well, we've got Florida man stories, and I am in the great state of Massachusetts as I begin filming episode one, season two of the Holzer Files. And believe it or not, Tim, there's a dumb crime right in this town.
Really?
Taking place. Thankfully, the criminal has been apprehended. I was worried coming here, knowing that they were on the loose. The criminal's been apprehended. We'll report on that in a bit. But Tim, you're in Florida. I wanted to start off with a positive Florida story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This okay. week. No, it's fine. You know, just to kind of balance things. But I thought this was pretty sweet. This is a Florida company. Motorworks Brewing is lending a helping hand to Shelter Manatee by featuring animals who were available for adoption on their cans of Kolsch beer, with part of the proceeds going to the shelter. That's what the newspaper's reporting out there, Tim. We're getting this report from our friends at WFTV, the FTIV, Tim, the FTIV.
The FTIV.
The animal rescue is raising money to build a new shelter after the county leaders approved an $8 million to pay for the building. The shelter needs another $2 million to complete the project. The brewery is helping raise the remaining funds. That's what WFLA The Flay is reporting. Each month, the brewery sponsors a Yappy Hour that raises money for animal charities in the area. That's where the idea came from, to help Shelter Manatee, according to WFLA. The good news is two of the four dogs featured have already been adopted. That's what the television station's reporting, Tim. So it's kind of like those milk cartons with the missing kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You get a dog that needs to be adopted. It's printed on the beer can. And then people see it and in a drunken state decide, I need a best friend.
I need a puppy.
I should have a best friend.
And it's a puppy.
I'm going to get up and go buy a best friend. And then that's what happens, Tim. Two out of four dogs purchased through beer.
Wow.
So that's a great story. Thank you, Florida. Thank you for stepping up and taking care of the animals. And here's a case, Tim, where the animals are striking back. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
There's been a horrible break-in at a human body farm.
A body farm?
Yes. Do you know what a body farm is?
I do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a horrible break-in leading to eating of the dead, Tim.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. You probably know by now that your beloved cat probably will eat you if you die.
It will.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes, yep. Right? I've already realized that. That's why I sleep with my door shut. So if I die in my sleep, my kids don't wake up to find my cats eating me.
Yeah, you should.
Right?
Yeah.
The cats are kept outside the room at night. They're allowed to cuddle with me and love me any other time of day, except for when I may be closer to death than any other time. Cats are fussy about eating the same luxury tins of food that you've given them thousands of times before, Tim. But little Brad Kitt will have no qualms about chowing down on mama the second that there's no pulse, Tim.
Brad Kitt.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of Brad Pitt, Tim, that would be the name for a little kitty, Brad Kitt.
I got it. Yeah.
I had a cat named Gotham Kitty.
That you
after
did.
Gotham City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pleasure. Yeah, I like using those nicknames. Yes, your pets will eat you when you die, and perhaps a bit sooner than is comfortable, according to forensic anthropologist Carolyn Rondo. She told BuzzFeed News in a 2015 story on animals eating their owners, implying that these jerks aren't even that hungry. They tend to go for the neck and face and exposed areas first, and then, if not discovered in time, they may just proceed to eat the rest of you. One particularly horrible case she highlighted saw a man's body found days after he died in 1994. His head, neck, and part of his arm had been defleshed down to the bone. Nearby, his 10 cats also lay dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Police figured out that he had died of a prescription overdose, which had also poisoned his pets when they consumed him after death.
There's karma right there. Yeah.
Kind of a weird murder suicide right there. Mm-hmm. At present day body farm facilities where a forensic scientist studies decomposition, researchers monitoring scavenger activity on human bodies got an up close and personal look at feral cats doing just that, which they documented in a study published in the Journal of Forensic Science, Tim. At the Forensic Investigation Research Station in Whitewater, Colorado, human remains are placed outside and documented, photographed, and observed, just like at any other facility of a serial killer's house. At this facility, scavenger activity is monitored with game cameras, which captured two particular cats sneaking into the body farm to feast on a number of corpses over the course of several weeks. The first cat made its way onto the farm and began to eat the body of a 79-year-old woman, focusing its attention on soft tissue and layers of fat. The body was then placed under a cage for a week for an unrelated research project, during which time the cat couldn't access it. When the cage was taken off the donor, the same cat returned to the same woman almost every night over the course of 35 days to eat. Again, it focused on soft tissue, eating part of the breast area and exposing the bone in her upper left arm. The second cat focused its attention on a 70-year-old man, returning for 10 out of 16 nights, then leaving the body alone for a month before returning to consume more of the same donor for another two consecutive nights. How weird is that? It's like they picked their buffet line. Yep. This was like their Taco Bell, their Wendy's, their Old Country Buffet, and they just keep going back to it.
Yep. You know, we had this argument, what was it, probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I got a slew of emails and calls to iHeartMedia and people saying, Tim's a cat hater. No, it's science. And you just read another scientific article and people and cat lovers saying dogs do it too. No, they don't. There were no
actually.
Dogs.
They do.
There were no dogs that came around during this study.
No, not in this. No, but there's not many feral dogs near these body farms. But the one article that I did read said cats are more likely to eat you out of hunger. Dogs are more likely to eat you by accident because they bite. You know, when you're down, how they'll nudge you and kind of nip at you to try to wake you up or make sure you're okay. They inadvertently end up biting and tearing pieces off of you.
See?
They're not as likely to eat you out of hunger, but more out of just trying to get you to play with them or pay attention to them or make sure that you're alive. And then when you don't respond and they're locked in the house starving, then you become a food source.
Right.
Cats won't even wait till you're cold.
They'll just
start lining up.
That's right.
And my four cats, that's why they sleep outside my bedroom door.
And that's
you open
smart.
The door and they're like, damn it, he's alive again.
But why did you even let four in to begin with? Remember, we had this talk, Dave. I did.
Hypnosis, some kind of cat hypnosis. I don't understand. I'm a dog guy.
I know.
Now I have a dog named Hans.
I know.
Tim. And I'm hoping that that'll rectify the problem, rebalance the situation. Hans will protect me should I go down. If I drop in a stroke or something, that's like my worst fear. What if you have a stroke and you're laying there awake watching your cats eat your face and you can't do anything about it?
See, that's the thing.
These are the nightmare fuels of my nights, Tim.
I don't blame you. I mean, at that point, you're a sitting duck, and all you've got is Hans at that point. I mean, I would come over every once in a while with a bat. I mean, you know, just waving it in righteous indignation, just saying, you know, keep away. I actually have a cane. I mean, I could bring
my... Just call the cops. How about if you just call the cops instead of just coming over and looking at my dead body and waving the cats off, Tim? How about you call medical assistance?
Remember what happened when you called the cops over the raccoons or whatever it was? The fox that were screwing? Yeah. You'll get about the same response.
Listeners that don't know what we're talking about, one night while doing my other radio show on a True Crime Tuesday, I had recorded True Crime Tuesday earlier in the day, was doing the live show with Tim, during our True Crime Tuesday show, was doing my live radio show at night, and suddenly and inexplicably, the sound of screaming came from outside, and it sounded like a woman being bludgeoned to death calling for help. I called the cops. They showed up eventually after my show again, after my third call, insisting, no, you can't just drive by. Go look in backyard. Somebody was beaten to death with a club and dragged into a backyard. I just knew it. And he told me, no, it's foxes mating. And I said, no, it's not. And then I looked up the sound of foxes mating, and damn it, it's the exact same sound of what sounds like a woman screaming help.
Sorry, you got one.
So there you go.
You got one strike against you with the police department. Yeah. If you're sitting there saying my cats are going to eat my face, they're going to go, man, this guy's lost it. I'm just saying.
You're the one that just said you'll come over with a baseball bat and wave it around to keep them away from me. I'm saying if I'm down, just call the just call the cops for me, Tim. Call medical assistance instead of just popping over once a week to swing a bat at the cats.
Well, I'll swing.
You know how stories come in cycles.
I'll change. I'm changing it up to my cane because at least with my cane, if the cops show up, they'll go, "What are you doing with that bat in your hand? Are you trying to kill that guy who's on the floor who's had a stroke?" Now I can change my story. If I bring my cane over, at least now I'm just visiting you. See how that looks, and I can still wave the cats away with
officers.
The cane.
You've heard him. We know what's inside his cane. There is a hidden sword. If you find any poke marks, look into Tim too. Tim, you know how stories come in weird cycles.
Yeah.
Okay, so we started off with a Florida man trying to help dogs.
Right.
We just talked about cats breaking into a body farm to feast on the flesh of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how would you like a good story about a good old-fashioned cockfight?
A what?
A cockfight, Tim. Are you not familiar?
I've never whipped it out
maybe,
to fight
maybe
anybody.
Maybe I should read further. I'm afraid of what your cockfight version might be. An Indian man dies after getting attacked by a rooster on a way to a cockfight. Sounds like a joke, doesn't it?
A little bit.
A Polak, a German, and an Indian guy get attacked by... Sounds like that old-time jokes. An Indian man has died after a tussle with a rooster on the way to a cockfight. Uh-huh. And the reason that they sent me this story, Tim, is in retribution for you.
Why is this?
Because of the name that I have to read.
Oh, good.
They always feel bad that I give you stories with big names.
Okay.
So this is the cat's first name is Sarah Polly. His last name is Rao.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just skip the middle name altogether.
No, don't do
but
that.
But I'm going to try it.
No.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Sarah Polly Shana Venkates Shwarma Waramaru Rao, age 50. I think I did pretty good on that.
You didn't sprain anything? You're good?
No, check out how many. Chanavenkateshwaram. It's Shana Venkate Shwarmaram, right? Yeah, Sarah Polly, Shana Venkate Shwaram Rao. There you go, people. Bam! Age 50, was hit in the neck with a blade tied to the rooster's claw.
How?
On January 15th, a police spokesman told CNN, the father of three was taken to the hospital where he later died from a stroke. I don't want to go out that way, Tim. Hey, welcome to heaven. How'd you die? I got poked in the throat by a cock. Yeah. With a razor blade on him, Tim. That's not the way you want to go.
No.
Rao, who lived in the Pragvadam village in southern India's Andhra Pradesh state, was a regular at local cockfights and was on his way to enter the rooster in a competition when it tried to break free, station house officer Kranti Kumar said. Cockfighting has been illegal in India since 1960, but it's not stopping this guy, Tim. However, animal fighting continues to be a problem in the country, according to Gwari Malankihi, trustee of the India's People for Animals Foundation. The offenses have been made very clear and explained to a district and state authorities, but they chose to turn a blind eye towards it. It's not just for entertainment that these animals are made to fight. It is also due to the heavy betting and gambling that goes on in these events. So it'd be okay if it was just animals battling to the death, but we can't have people making money off it, Tim. That's where it gets weird to them.
That's right. That's when it gets strange.
Kumar said the local cockfight went ahead without any arrests. 2014 Supreme Court judgment clarified the illegality of animal fighting under India's Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act in 2015. Malakihi used that judgment to intervene in a state court petition to lift the ban on cockfighting, but the ban was upheld. I don't think culture has anything to do with it. It's purely a money game and hysteria takes over. Reason and logic just take a back seat, such that neither the animal's welfare nor the people's welfare is enough to stop it. I've never, ever thought, boy, I'm bored today. Boy, am I bored. You know what? You know what sounds good? Strapping a razor blade to a cock and watching it fight another one. Tim, to me, that just seems like maybe that was a good day to clear the gutters.
It probably.
Maybe rake the yard.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But the animal fun doesn't stop there.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, different cultures and different entertainment, you know, maybe cinema is not so great over there.
I guess, you know, maybe the weird thing is, you know, like maybe they sit back and they think these idiots are pummeling each other on TV, beating each other. And what's going on? Well, it's, you know, they're paying pay-per-view to watch idiots beat each other up in America. What kind of creepy animals are that? Let's just leave it to the roosters. I don't know. Well, as we continue on with our strange animal-like stories, Tim, This is a very weird one. I've seen this culture. I'm not here to belittle it. I don't understand it, but I'm not here to belittle it. I'm not even going to read the headline. I'm just going to read the story straight up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Several members attending a furry convention in California on Friday helped restrain a man who was assaulting his girlfriend until police arrested him, according to officials. Six people witnessed the assault at the annual Further Confusion, or FurCon, in San Jose. Furries, Tim, for those of the audience who don't know, are enthusiasts who celebrate characters and stories involving anthropomorphic animals or fictitious characters that have human traits, right? So like the Cat in the Hat, Tim?
Sure, yeah.
Right? Fox in Socks, Tim?
Yeah.
You know, any of the Yogi Bear?
Yogi
Bear? They're kind of turned on by those characters. Scooby-Doo? Bugs Bunny dressed as a girl? They said the man was assaulting a woman in a car, the San Jose Police Department said in a police report. Robbie Ryans, age 26, was working as a DJ for the convention when he and a friend went outside for a smoke break. Out of nowhere, Ryan said a blue car stopped in front of them. We heard a woman's screams coming from inside and saw the passenger throwing full fists at whoever was driving, Ryan told CNN. We got up and ran towards the car. My friend pulled open the door and we both held on to the attacker. The girl driver was yelling for him to get out as he started trying to fight us off. Four other people who were attending the convention joined in and helped grab the man, drag him out of the car, and restrain him until police arrived. Once he felt the situation was under control, Ryan said he backed up and began filming the incident. When police arrived, they alleged that the suspect, 22-year-old Dimitri Hardnett, assaulted his girlfriend in their car, according to the police report. Hardnett was arrested and booked into Santa Clara County Jail for domestic violence. CNN could not determine if Hardnett has a lawyer. It all happened so fast, I still can't believe it, Ryan said. I'm so glad everything worked out in the end. It was a horrible sight to see. Afterward, we were very shaken up and relieved. For those wondering, the furry fandom is a community of enthusiasts who celebrate characters and stories involving these anthropomorphic animals. In other words, fictitious animals living that have kind of humanistic traits. And they're really dumbing it down, Tim.
Yep.
First of all, it's just a funny picture to see these guys in full animal costumes holding an attacker down. But furries, I was first introduced to the furry world when I went to Dragon Con in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm walking about at Dragon Con. It's very late at night. I've had some, I've imbibed in local drinks, Tim.
Sure.
Probably to a point of excess.
Uh-oh.
And I walk. I'm on the upper layer of one of the hotels coming out of the bar, and I walk and I look. You could look down. You see all these people dressed in amazing costumes from every superhero genre, Dungeons and Dragons, role play games. If you can imagine a costume, there's somebody there probably wearing it. Okay. It's great. It's a spectacle to behold.
Awesome.
But then I round the corner and there are 30 people dressed in like mascot costumes. Like you would see at sporting events, but not like famous ones, just like giant foxes and pandas and they're humping.
Oh.
And they're orchestrating this ballet of sexual maneuvers while in their costumes and caressing one another. And it is the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen. And I stopped and I'm like, how drunk are you, Schrader? And man, does that fox down there look attractive? right? But anyway, I'm standing there, and I'm shaking my head. And one of the guys standing there watching, he goes, yeah, they're furries. I go, what? He goes, yeah, it's called the furries. These people dress in costumes. They feel, you know, animals that they're connected to. But then they all get together. I go, well, how do you tell who the guys and who the girls are? And he looked at me and he goes, well, most of them are probably guys, even the ones in like the very feminine looking fox costume or, you know, the sexy pretty kitty costume. Because it's not like you're thinking Catwoman with maybe like a cat head on it. No, it's like a big costume that you would see like somebody wearing outside of a car dealership, right? Trying to wave you in,
yeah.
Dressed as a, you know, a Porky the Pig at barbecue days or whatever, you know. So it's just, it's so bizarre. But I go, so how do you know who's who? Well, it doesn't matter. If your animal is attracted to that panda, you're just going to caress it and have simulated sex with it.
Hmm.
So, I guess in the furry world, there is, you know, we're always so worried. Are we pansexual, metrosexual, transsexual, transgender, homosexual, lesbian, whatever the term might be? There is no term. When you are a furry, you are a furry, and you will have sex with everything and anything else dressed in a fur costume. So that was it. That was minor. Now, I'm sure I'm going to get some angry mail. I'm just saying that was my introduction to the furry culture. I'm sure that they do other things.
I'm sure.
I can't imagine what. But my introduction was walking into the middle of a sanctioned furry orgy at like 1:30 in the morning in downtown Atlanta in, I think, the Hilton or Marriott. And it was a sight to behold. And I'm not ashamed to admit I stood there for 20, 25 minutes because they have amazing stamina. And I could not believe what I was seeing.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
All right. So we've got dogs on beer cans. We've got cats eating cadavers, right?
Yep.
We've got the Freddy Krueger of the rooster world taking guys out. We've got a furry convention stopping an abuse, which is great. Congratulations. First of all, thank you for stepping in.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
That was great.
Yeah.
A lot of people just stand there and turn a blind eye or just video record it.
Right.
But no, these guys in full furry regalia dragged this son of a bitch out of his car and held him down until authorities could get there.
There you go.
So you see that we're going from animals, Tim, to kind of a weird transitory state here.
Mm-hmm.
Our next story, man in Easter Bunny costume arrested after hit and run crash at Seminole County, troopers say, Tim.
Uh-oh.
This dude sporting the Coolio hairdo.
Oh, you got to love that.
Does not look the type to be inside an Easter Bunny costume. I don't know. Is there really a type? I shouldn't say that. That probably comes off racist, and I didn't mean that. He just, you know, he looks more thug than he does hug. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
You think Easter Bunny, you think, oh, a hug and you know, chocolate candy, not Coolio and thug life. I don't know.
Well,
a man dressed in...
Coolio did have his own cooking show, so, you know.
Well, yeah, that's that. Yeah. Now, a man dressed in an Easter Bunny costume was arrested last Thursday after he attempted to evade deputies following a hit and run in Seminole County. That's according to the Florida Highway Patrol. Tim, you're right in the middle of this craziness.
Yes, I am.
A trooper was dispatched to a traffic crash at 108 Dogwood Street involving a motorcycle, officials said. Investigators said the driver failed to stop at a stop sign and collided with a carport, which collapsed on a vehicle in the driveway. Troopers said the motorcycle struck a chain-link fence. The motorcycle driver then was seen limping across the yard of 112 Dogwood Street. A Seminole County Sheriff's Office deputy and a trooper said they went to the driver's address and saw a gray Nissan Rogue exit the driveway and travel down Terry Drive. Trooper said they conducted a traffic stop on the vehicle. And the motorcycle driver, lying in the back seat of the car, was wearing an Easter Bunny costume. Could you imagine rolling up on that as the cop? You get into a motorcycle accident. Your first thought is you run into your home, change into an Easter Bunny costume so you can quickly sneak off and not be recognized to the hospital. Oh my God. The man appeared to be alive and was taken out of the car with some assistance, troopers said. Troopers identified the man as Antoine Tyreek McDonald. I'm sorry. Just the whole image of this thing is cracking me up. I wonder if he was dressed as the bunny on the motorcycle. Maybe that's why he went out of control. He couldn't see through those screened eyes.
Mm-hmm. No,
I wouldn't want to drive a motorcycle with that. Maybe he took the helmet law the wrong way, Tim.
I think so. Yeah.
They said he was attempting to evade arrest with the assistance of the driver and passenger of the Nissan Rogue. The Easter Bunny costume was removed for safety reasons. McDonald was placed under arrest. He was taken to a hospital due to injuries he suffered in the crash. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. McDonald also was the man who wore an Easter Bunny costume during a fight in downtown Orlando last April. This guy's a two-time offender. Got into a fist fight. How would you like to get your ass kicked by the Easter Bunny?
That'd be a red letter day, that's for sure.
Oh, my God. All right. Now, here's the transitory. We went from animals to people dressed as animals to this story, Tim. You're going to see how I take this full circle because okay. I am kind of a master craftsman when it comes to these stories.
Sure.
Man who robbed bank wearing pillowcase without eye holes was arrested after fleeing very slowly, then stopping to pat a dog, court hears. So see, animals to costumed animals to a man dressed in a costume who stopped to pat a dog. Uh-huh. Tim, see how that all comes together?
I do, yeah.
A bank robber who wore a pillowcase with no eye holes as a disguise was arrested after fleeing very slowly.
Oh, my God.
Then he stopped to pet a dog, a court has been told. Do you think that's part of his defense? Your Honor, obviously this man is not a career criminal. He loves animals. He stopped to pet a dog, Your Honor. First of all, as the bank representative, if a guy walks in with a pillowcase on his head, are you not hitting the button immediately?
I would ask him if he got an improper night of sleep. That's what I would ask.
Yeah. Matthew Davies, 47, robbed a Bank of Scotland branch in Dunfermline, Scotland, armed with a meat cleaver last September. He pulled his weapon out of a pillowcase before putting the bedding over his face in an attempt to conceal his identity. So he carried the meat cleaver in the pillowcase, reaches into said pillowcase, pulls out the meat cleaver, puts the pillowcase over his head once he's inside the bank. But during a hearing at the High Court in Glasgow, the robber was forced to remove his makeshift mask because he couldn't see, the Daily Record reports. Prosecutor Stuart Romney said this was due to a failure to create eye holes. Despite his botched plan, Davies escaped with almost £2,000 before momentarily stopping to pet a dog.
Oh, my God.
He is now in custody after pleading guilty to a charge of assault and robbery. Davies of Dunfermline will be sentenced next month, Tim.
Wow. He's still got away with £2,000.
Yeah, for a month, though, the streets are safe from pillowcase-wearing, meat-cleaver-wielding psychopaths.
Aw.
Now, this story, Tim, I don't know that this fits into the crime genre, I think is what I meant to say. I don't know if this fits into the crime genre.
Genre, yeah.
But I'll leave this to you to decide.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because drugs are bad, right? Officer Barb Brady's told us that.
Sure, yep.
Okay. But according to this headline, apparently we have to say it. Folks, please don't vape your Viagra.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why I felt very sing-songy about that, but it sounds like it fit it. Please don't vape your Viagra. Don't vape your Viagra today. Don't vape your Viagra. That's what this article says. We had to say it, but we weren't the first. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued a written warning to HelloSig, electronic technology company limited after the agency had reason to believe the Japan-based vaping company was illegally selling e-liquid products intended for vaping that contained unapproved drugs for erectile dysfunction, as well as weight loss drugs The company falsely claims both were approved by the FDA. Whoops. The FDA says information on the Hello Sig website is directed to consumers and conveys, misleads, or would mislead consumers into believing the products are approved by the federal agency and as such are misbranded under federal law. The company's eCialis Hello eSig liquid found to contain the prescription drugs tadalafil, I don't know how to say that, Tim, and sildenafil. Why not? While the eRimonabant Hello Sig e-liquid tested positive for sildenafil, Tim, which is, I guess, erectile dysfunction medication. Mm-hmm. Both drugs are approved by the FDA to treat erectile dysfunction under a prescription, not over-the-counter or in e-liquid products. The two prescriptions are inhibitors that can interact with the nitrates found in prescription drugs used to treat high blood pressure and heart disease in a very dangerous way. So you have to be careful, Tim.
Yes, yeah.
If you got the limpy wiener, you don't want to take things unless, you know, especially if you're on blood pressure medication. Boy, did I learn that the hard way. Anyway, there are no e-liquids that contain prescription drugs that have been proven safe or effective through this route of administration, according to the FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb in a statement. So, Tim, if you see an ad for liquid Viagra to vape, don't do it.
No, I won't.
Tim, don't do it.
I promise I won't.
Tim.
What?
Tim, don't do it.
I won't. I promise.
Another e-liquid formula made by Hello Sig is marketed for weight loss and branded in a way that suggests it contains Acomplia, an anti-obesity drug not approved by the FDA for sale in the United States. Prescription drugs are carefully evaluated and labeled to reflect the risks of the medication and their potential interactions with other medicines. And vaping active ingredients is an ineffective route of delivery and can be dangerous, said Gottlieb. There are no e-liquid products approved to contain prescription drugs of any other or any other medications that require a doctor's supervision, Tim. So if your wiener's in need of a popsicle stick, Tim, don't try to fix it by vaping, okay? It ain't going to work.
All right.
Don't do it. And I'm not sure, how does that work anyway? I mean, you have to ingest the pill that goes in and kind of it opens the blood vessels, vascular system, to allow better blood flow.
Right.
So do you hotbox your wiener? How do you do that? Do you like take a big drag and then blow the smoke down?
That
your wiener's like looking at Pink Floyd posters and wigging out down there.
That's the name of my new album, Hotboxing My Wiener. It's kind of would be how you would do it, except for when you vape, you wouldn't hold the. You know what's interesting about this is
hold your crotchy on the left hand side.
All these illegal cartridges contain some of them contain vitamin E, which when they go into your lungs, it supposedly coats your lungs with this film that you can't get out of your lungs, and that's what's causing all these lung injuries. So not only are you getting your wiener hard, but you're blowing out your lungs. But it would seem to me that essentially it's just one more port to get the drug into you. So instead of taking a pill and getting it into your stomach and then it's going through your stomach like any other pill, you're getting it into your bloodstream by getting it into your lungs, and then it gets it circulates faster.
Hotboxing your wiener.
Yeah, and then hotboxing your wiener, yeah.
That does sound kind of like a follow-up album for Vanilla Ice's waning career.
It does, yeah. Yeah.
Ice is back, Hotboxing Your Wiener, the new single on Elektra Records.
It would be Ice is Cleaner, Check Me Out as I Hotbox My Wiener.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of this, now see how I tie these stories together, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
A Wisconsin man tells police he mixed his mom's cremated remains with his marijuana.
Oh, God, no.
We're going to Waukesha, Wisconsin, Tim.
Oh, God, no.
A 26-year-old man is accused of selling drugs that were mixed with his mother's ashes. According to WISN, the Wisin, Tim. Police said Austin Schroeder of Schroeder. Schroeder of Menominee Falls Menominee. Admitted to investigators he cut the drugs using his dead mother's cremated remains. So if you thought it was bad enough that you were vaping Cialis, Tim?
Yeah.
And hotboxing your wiener with Cialis?
Yeah.
How about taking a couple of hits off some Wisconsin ditchweed and finding out not only are you getting ditchweed, but you're smoking somebody's mom?
No. No, yeah. No.
The thing is, he couldn't explain why he did it. Investigators said they received a tip about Schroeder and his girlfriend selling drugs out of their apartment. According to a criminal complaint, twice last week, investigators sent an informant to the apartment. They said the informant was able to buy marijuana. A few days later, police returned and searched the apartment. Investigators said they found 70 grams of marijuana, a small amount of MDMA, bongs, and a drug scale. Tim, I'm going to have to back up to that. You're the drug cartel professional here. MDMA, what is that?
That's Molly, Dave. That's
Molly?
Ecstasy, Molly.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they had some marijuana cut with mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he was selling mommy and Molly. That's what he was selling to.
Yep. Mommy
it was
and
the double. It was the M&M package. Oh,
you got it. Yeah.
See, I am a product genius. Yeah, come on in. I got the M&Ms. I got mom and Molly. What do you want? According to the complaint, Schroeder tried to explain the large amount of unknown powder and vegetable material located in the apartment, saying he mixed the substances for a variety of reasons. Schroeder said his mom died a little more than a year ago, and according to the complaint, Schroeder indicates he took some of her ashes and mixed them with a variety of substances, some of which he ultimately ingested. The complaint doesn't indicate if he mixed the cremated remains in any of the drugs he's accused of selling. Schroeder said Caitlin Geiger, 21, of Menominee Falls, each face felony drug charges. There's no explanation in the complaint for why he allegedly admitted to ingesting his mom's ashes. The couple appeared Tuesday in Waukesha County Court. They were released on a signature bond and scheduled to be back in court on January 28th, Tim. That's today.
Yeah, I blame this on Keith Richards.
Why? Is he vaping his mom?
Wasn't he the one who put his father's ashes in a batch of weed and smoked it?
Maybe. I don't remember. That's crazy talk right there.
I could have swore he was the one who said he put his father's ashes in a batch of weed and smoked it.
Yeah. That could be.
Yeah.
All right. So we went animals to people dressed as animals. To people dressed in a costume who stopped to pet an animal, Tim.
Okay.
To don't vape Cialis. To don't smoke your mom. And, you know, here we're hotboxing the wiener, Tim. You're going to see the correlation. This is the rounding of the story. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Because in this story, the voodoo bone lady. Huh?
Voodoo bone lady?
Yeah. French Quarter tour operator has been arrested in a Royal Street shooting, Tim. A woman who runs a French Quarter tour company under the moniker Voodoo Bone Lady is accused of shooting a male friend during an argument near her store on Tuesday night, according to authorities. April Caldwell, who's better known locally by her alias Onassis Bloomberg. Onassis? Onassis? O-N-A-S-S-Y-S? Is that Onassis?
Onassis?
I think
Onassis?
So.
Onassis? Sure.
Onassis Bloomberg. Well, if your name is April Caldwell and you want to be taken seriously as the voodoo bone lady, Onassis Bloomberg does sound a little bit more hoity-toity. I'm not going to lie.
It is more uppity, yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to go see a voodoo queen by the name of April?
Nobody.
Right?
Nobody.
Welcome to me store. I'm Onassis Bloomberg, right? I don't know. Well, I was doing like a Scottish Jamaican accent there.
Little pirate, too. There's a little pirate there.
Little pirate, yeah. Well, that's the Scottish part of it, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, Onassis Bloomberg was jailed on account of aggravated battery following the shooting. The New Orleans Police Department said Caldwell, age 41, was arguing with a 56-year-old man whom she had dated about 7:30 p.m. when she pulled out a handgun and shot him in the abdomen.
Oof.
Police arrested Caldwell at the scene. Paramedics took the victim to the hospital. You think she was pissed off to find out he was vaping Cialis, Tim?
I think that was part of it. He never came down. Yeah.
A family of street performers told the newspaper on Tuesday that they heard Caldwell and the man quarreling followed then by a gunshot. Under her Bloomberg alias, Caldwell has run 5-star voodoo bone lady haunted tours. I know what I'm going to avoid next time I'm in New Orleans.
That's a long title. You might want to shorten that up. Yeah.
She runs other companies out of that address, including the Voodoo Bone Lady Voodoo Shop and vintage African masks made in China. That's what records show. She also describes herself to be a psychic, and she should have seen this coming. That's boom, right. Boom. Thank you, everybody.
That's right.
Remember to tip your waiters and waitresses. Tim and I will be here all week. Caldwell's bail set at a staggering $100,000 during a hearing at Orleans Parish Criminal District Court on Wednesday afternoon. She remained in custody later in the day. Caldwell could face up to 10 years in prison if convicted of aggravated battery. I wonder if she shot him and she wasn't as aggravated, what it would be called. While a city spokeswoman declined to address Caldwell's case, she said tour guides in general cannot be licensed to operate if they have felony convictions within the previous 5 years. The spokeswoman said the permits, which tour guides are required to have, can be suspended while pending felony counts are resolved. In case of a conviction, the city would move to revoke the permits. Tuesday's shooting came during a period of quiet in the French Quarter, following a busy three-day period when tens of thousands of people were drawn to the historic neighborhood and surrounding areas because of the college football playoff championship game played at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome Monday night. So that's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
The Voodoo Bone Lady.
Voodoo Bone Lady.
Well, let's go. Tim, again, I go from smoking for the bone to the Bone Lady, right? To Florida mother and daughter psychics get prison for defrauding customers. It's weird how these stories just kind of come together week after week. Weird stories that just take us through a narrative that none of us needed. A mother and daughter who claim to be Florida psychics and used eggs containing snake embryos to convince customers they were cursed are going to prison for fraud. The Sun Sentinel reports that a federal judge on Friday sentenced Annie Marie Vuanovic, age 74, to 42 months behind bars, and 44-year-old April Miller. Ooh, another April, Tim.
Imagine that.
An April psychic. Yeah, two of them. To just over 2 years. The case involved two victims, one who was bilked out of $1.4 million.
Ooh.
In comparison, the other one got away easy, only 10 grand defrauded by the second person. Court records show the pair claimed to be white squaw Cherokee Indian spiritual healers and that the snake embryos were part of their practice. One victim, identified in court simply as Mrs. O, said she was told she had to give the woman money for cleansing during a divorce and then again needed to pay and turn over jewelry after her husband died because he had become a demon. Defense attorneys had asked for leniency in part citing the pair's gypsy heritage, but the judge imposed longer sentences than they sought because of past evidence of fraud, Tim. How does that make it okay? Oh, Your Honor, please forgive them because they're gypsies. I mean, if you commit a crime, I didn't know you can get off because, oh, Your Honor, Dave and Tim, yes, they held up two McDonald's and ate all of the McRibs, but they're fat. Let them off.
Well,
I don't think you should be allowed off just because of a certain aspect of who you are.
Are they claiming that the gypsy culture is a religion or that it's...
I don't know, but does the religion allow you to fleece people for $1.4 million?
I'm not sure. If they claim they're a religious head of, or the head of a religion, that they...
Maybe.
Can, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, Tim, here I am in Massachusetts.
Yes, you are.
I told you there's been a crime wave that's taken place here, Tim. A terrifying crime wave. I was worried about coming to the state until this news broke, Tim.
Okay.
Massachusetts serial pooper has been arrested after police catch her defecating in a parking lot, Tim. A Massachusetts woman accused of defecating in the parking lot of a local Natick store for months was arrested last week after she was finally caught in the act, reports say. If this was happening for months, how did it take months to finally capture her? Andrea Grosher, 51, was charged with 8 counts of wanton destruction of property. What has she got, like acid poop? How is pooping wanton destruction? You're pooping in a parking lot. unless it's laced with like battery acid. She was arrested and charged with 8 counts of wanton destruction of property after a Natick police officer said he saw her defecating outside the Natick outdoor store at around 7 a.m., according to Fox News, based on reports from WYCN, Tim. The police were first alerted to the serial pooper in December when Henry Kenner, the store's owner, reported human feces there on 8 separate occasions since October. Police began investigating initially, believing it might be an animal, but then found toilet paper and other wipes. Hey, boo-boo, pass me another wipe.
She's Charmin clean.
Yeah. Natick Police Department spokeswoman Lieutenant Kara Rossi told the Metro West Daily News an officer was patrolling the parking lot Wednesday when she spotted grocer waiting for the lot to clear, opening the driver's side door of her Lincoln MKX and defecating out the door, WYCN reported. Grocer was pulled over after driving off and told police that she was on her way to a home up the street where she worked as a nanny, but stopped because she has irritable bowel syndrome, according to the arrest report. Her employer told police, however, that Grocer had access to their restroom. This coupled with the length of the time that passed with Grocer in the lot led to her arrest. I'm so happy they arrested her, Kenner told Metro West. I have no idea who she is. This has been ongoing. She's been pooping quite often over here. There's nothing more disgusting coming into your parking lot in the morning and seeing a pile of human poop. Grocer was released without bail and is due back in court on March 2nd, Tim. Oh, so she's still free to poop out here. My God, I thought I was safe, Tim.
You would think, okay, so you've seen the commercials. You've been sitting at dinner, right? You have the TV on. You know, Mrs. Schrader is made a lovely dinner. And you're sitting there, and you've got the TV on, and you see the little guy with the little box that says, hey, you just take a simple sample, and you can send it in and see if you have colon cancer, right? And they read your DNA, and they find out if you've got colon cancer, right? Why can't they just take a sample of the crime at large and try and figure out if she's in any databases anywhere? I mean, maybe she is, maybe she isn't. That rules out.
You think she's a serial pooper pooping in other parking lots as well?
I think she is.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she could have a long-spanning career of parking lot pooping.
I don't think this is the first time, my friend. I think maybe this is a multi-state crime. I think we got a RICO pooper here. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Rico
She's crossing FBI lines.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Rico pooper.
Yuck.
Yep.
All right. So we had a store getting pooped in its parking lot, Tim. Mm-hmm. This next story takes us to another store. Turns out this store has the worst upstairs neighbor ever. Police in Auburn, Washington recently released footage of a bizarre situation they believe is occurring at a local grocery store after several reports of possible break-ins and employees claiming to hear footsteps coming from the ceiling. Police believe that an unknown individual has spent several weeks living and hiding in the store's rafters. But while evidence of the suspect has been found at the scene, authorities still have not located the man and have not ruled out the possibility that he may still be in the store. Over the weekend, authorities with the Auburn Police Department shared surveillance footage on Facebook from the Hagen supermarket on Lake Taps Boulevard, showing the man sneaking around inside the store on Christmas Day. Auburn police have been called to Hagen Lake Taps on 5 occasions since Christmas Day. The police department captioned the footage. On that day, the suspect stole thousands of dollars worth of cigarettes and liquor. There have been 4 additional 911 calls since then, 2 on January 15th, 1 on the 16th, and another this morning, the 17th. According to the Post, employees have reported seeing or hearing the suspect in the rafters above the ceiling. In each case, the Post continues, officers searched above the false ceiling but came up empty. Another employee saw a man's legs dangling from the ceiling in a supply closet, WTHR reports. Auburn Police Commander Mike Herman told the outlet they had found evidence of someone poking around in the ceiling, but no culprit has yet been caught. We found where someone had been Herman said. There's ventilation that had been removed and tracks that had been moved. We spent probably about 4.5 hours up in the rafters trying to hunt this guy down. Authorities have reportedly used infrared technology and canine units to try to track the suspect, but apparently are having no luck. Fox News reached out to Hagen Northwest Fresh for comment. They did not immediately respond to him.
Hmm.
That's crazy. So this guy's living up in the ceiling and has for quite a while stealing thousands of dollars in alcohol and cigarettes, and they can't locate him. How do you get in and out? Shouldn't they have at least come upon his bounty up there somewhere?
You would think. You know, some people who are squatters like that are so good at it that you have no idea.
It's insane. Absolutely insane. Going through some dumb crime, stupid criminals, Tim, I am reminded recently as I was at a store here in Boston,
mm-hmm.
and picking up some provisions for my room, some avocados, Tim, some kiwis, because I'm on a little bit of a health kick trying to shed some weight, right?
Okay.
Buying some healthier foods, some mm-hmm. cases of water.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling good.
Yep.
I am standing there in the aisle when I watch a young man, maybe the age of about 7, pocket a Hershey bar.
Uh-oh.
And then he turns around and realizes I saw him pocket the Hershey bar.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets that look, and then this is a kid that's 7 years old, Tim.
Yeah.
He kind of glowers at me then.
Hmm.
And his eyes become very shifty and very creepy looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just kind of thrusts his chin out at me as if to say, don't say a word, bitch. I don't know how else to. I'm a little too hypersensitive now that I've been doing true crime for this long time, but that was the consensus. That was the feel of what this kid was telling. The 7-year-old kid was trying to intimidate me. He was prison yarding me, Tim.
No, I think you read him correctly. Yeah.
And he walked out of the store and went full on George Jefferson the minute he got out of the store.
Really?
Oh, it was awesome to watch this kid's personality because he just kind of tried to stay cool, calm, and collect and walk out of the store with the Hershey bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets out the door and back go the shoulders, out go the chin, and he's doing that cock of the walk strut like George Jefferson because he got away with a Hershey bar.
So he went all Whitey Bulger on you.
Yeah, I sat there. I'm like, should I help teach this kid a lesson? Should I point out, hey, that, you know, that kid just walked out of here with a Hershey bar? And then I'm like, you know, if I don't, I'm kind of allowing crime to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If I do, could the results be worse for this kid? You know,
because,
mm-hmm. You know, you hear these stories, kids get arrested for shoplifting and that really puts in it's something petty and then it puts them onto a real crime route, right? So it was like I didn't know how to feel about it, but then I was remembering when Cliff, my oldest son, and I were at Suncoast. Remember Suncoast Video?
Oh yeah,
at the malls.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, where you could buy your VHS tapes, Tim.
Yep.
Cliff and I were at Suncoast, and I had him in one of those car strollers at the mall in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I buy my movie or two, and we wheel on out, and he goes, it's a good day, Dad. And I go, why is it a good day? He goes, we both got what we wanted. You found your movies, and I got this. And he had just stolen something off one of the shelves down there.
Whoa.
And I stopped the cart, and I'm like, dude, you can't just take things from the store. And he was perplexed. He's like, what? I'm like, you can't just take things off the shelves and walk out of it. You have to pay for this. And he couldn't wrap his head around. He was maybe like 5.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't wrap his head around what that meant to pay for something. So I said, we're going to go back in and you're going to return that. And you're going to tell the store person that you're sorry for stealing. And then this blank response, I realized he has no concept what stealing is or paying. Is this a lesson that's about to be learned, or is it just going to go over his head? So I wheeled him back into the place. I made him step out, and I said, can I please speak to a manager? And then all of a sudden, his shoulders slump, and the head starts to hang. And he realizes, oh, no, right?
Yep.
And then my heart starts to break, and I'm like, oh, my God, is this the first step to him becoming a serial parking lot pooper? I don't know, Tim. I don't know what sets off a criminal, right? This could be it. This could be the big leap.
Yeah.
And the guy, the manager comes over and says, yes, yes, how can I help you? Everything okay? And I'm like, well, my son has something he'd like to tell you. And Cliff, bowed head, arms crossed, holding the item, just kind of holds the item out in front of him, refusing to make eye contact. And he goes, here, I stole this. And the guy goes, oh, and then looks at me, and I give him a wink like we're teaching him a lesson here. And he goes, this is what the guy tells him. It was a package of, not red vines. What are those real thin licorice? They're like shoestrings. Do you remember those?
Yeah. What are those? Those are...
I can't remember, but they're not red vines, but they're something similar to that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So here's a teachable lesson, right? We're gonna put a little bit of the fear of God in him. We're going to do a little scared straight, maybe take him in the back room, slap him around a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Put the bright light on him, sweat him, right? The guy goes, well, those... We give those away to good little boys all the time. You go ahead and take that.
No.
And then Cliff just looks at me like, why are you such a dick? And then he walks out of the store.
God.
He left me. He walked out of the store, and I looked at the guy and I go, that wasn't exactly what I thought would happen here.
Right.
And he goes, what, do you want me to have him arrested? I said, no, but you probably should have just taken the candy from him and not okayed his theft.
Right.
Because now he's going to come here and with somebody else, his mom, uncle, a neighbor, and just think, oh, well, they give these to good boys, so I'm just going to take them. And what else is he going to take next time?
Right.
The guy tells me, lighten up, and he walks away.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. But because he wasn't arrested and forced into hard labor at five, Tim, I guess that keeps him from cockfights and pooping in parking lots. He's a respected fireman in Minneapolis now, Tim. So I think maybe that guy knew better after all. I don't know. I was pissed. And then I had to try to tell Cliff and explain to Cliff, and he wasn't having it. It was dismissive. I got the back of the hand. I'm like, whatever. Right.
Wow.
But I did take the licorice away and I threw it out when we got outside. And then he like roared, well, you heard him. And I said, he said, it's for good little boys. You stole. That's not a good little boy. And I threw it in the garbage. So I did try to still give him the lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it reminds me, since we also did the Easter Bunny story. Oh, this will get some hate mail for me for sure. But there was one Easter, my kids, I think I told you about this. My kids were just dicks leading up to Easter.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I go, you guys keep this up. The Easter Bunny's not coming. And it was my year to have the kids for the holiday, so the Easter Bunny would be coming to my house. And they just all had attitude. And whatever, Dad, the Easter Bunny always comes. So Easter morning came. We go downstairs. Not an egg to be found, Tim. Not a toy. Not a plushie. Not even like rabbit poop on the carpet, Tim. The rabbit avoided our house. My kids were beside themselves. There has to be repercussions. We have to show that there are things that happen when you don't, when you're not good.
True.
Right?
Yep.
And so what happens is they call, they cry to their mom. It's Sunday night. They go home to their moms. Oh, lo and behold, well, don't worry. The Easter Bunny came here. She ran out and bought them all kinds of stuff and said, oh, well, they didn't come to your dad's, not because you're naughty, but because they knew you were coming here tonight. So he dropped everything off here.
Oh, God.
Totally undermining my children, which makes you understand a little bit more why I fear for my life, for my children, Tim, and why they have no respect for authority.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure if the cats don't eat me, my children might, Tim. I'm coming out. I'm just being open with you.
Well, at least it's documented here.
Oh, good God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. My final story. We're going to stay in Florida, Tim, right near you. WFLA The Flay reports from Clearwater. A woman passed out with a blood alcohol content of 0.338, Tim.
Ooh.
Can you just explain to the audience how high that is, Tim?
Dave, that's so high that you don't walk, you drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was she doing, Tim? She was walking an infant in a stroller on a public sidewalk. She was so drunk, she was walking the infant in a stroller and blacked out. Emergency crew responded to Bay Esplanade around 2:45 p.m. after Stephanie Saladino, age 46, was found passed out in a public sidewalk next to the stroller where an 11-month-old child was sleeping soundly. Apparently, one of them could handle their liquor better, Tim.
Apparently.
Saladino, whatever the name is, and the baby were transported to a local hospital. Nurses told police that Saladino had a blood alcohol content of 3.338, four times over the legal driving limit, and nearly a fatal amount. According to her arrest report, Saladino told police she drank wine before taking the child on a walk and ultimately passed out on the sidewalk. The child is currently in custody of the child protection investigator for the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, Tim. So while you're in Florida, Tim, maybe you want to stop by and buy a baby.
Clearwater is only half an hour away from here, Dave.
I'm telling you, the baby is for sale now. I'm sure of it. They're probably selling. It's Florida. They're probably selling them.
I may go pick one up.
Good. Do it. Well, that's it this week, kids. I think that was more than enough dumb crime, stupid criminals. And we certainly had a wide swath of strangeness this week. Voodoo priestesses, charlatan psychics with snake embryos, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if I should include that in the animal stories, if that should have been like I should have bridged the animal beer cans, cats eating, roosters killing, furry wearing, you know, pillowcase adorning, puppy petting, and then roll right into psychics with snake embryos. I probably should have rounded it out that way, then got into the voodoo bone priestess, and then voodoo bone right into smoking Viagra. Damn it, I missed my shot. Damn it. I thought I had put together a perfect list, and I think I just realized I could have made it perfecter.
I think you weaved it quite well, my friend. I think you...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I think if... unlike Kirk Cousins in the Pro Bowl, you did not fumble in a comeback-type victory situation. I think you, my friend, you scored a touchdown on this one.
Thank you. And to top it all off, I shared some insights into my own world of criminal mischief with my children and watching a child shoplift.
Yeah.
Tim.
Yeah.
So it's, I like to call it, the full Monty of Schrader. You got the stories, you got the experiences, you got them all.
Yeah.
Got them all. All right. Well, that's it for this week. We will be back again next week with more of the best in True Crime Talk Radio. I'm Dave. That's Tim. This is True Crime Tuesday.